This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast with Andrew Jobling, author, speaker, educator, entrepreneur, and AFL player. Join Andrew as he continues his lifelong journey as a student of human behavior. This podcast will help you live your passion, explore your potential, step into your power, and embrace your possibilities.
Embrace your possibilities.
Possibilities.
Andrew Jobling, this is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast. This is an awesome episode that starts poorly. Where do I say starts poorly? That's actually, as you know, the name of the podcast, because I speak with Justin Griffith, who is a pastor of a church. He's an author of a book called Start Poorly. And basically, his book's about how do you set and achieve goals. The great thing about it, and this is an awesome conversation, it's about removing that pressure of getting it right first time, which is actually not really possible, and getting excited about doing something badly to get started, but just doing it. Getting started is the most important thing. The quality of what you do is less important. So start poorly. This is a wonderful conversation. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy my chat with Justin Griffith. Justin, how are you today?
Andrew, doing fantastic, my friend. How are you?
Fabulous. My day is just beginning. Yours is sort of at the far end, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
It's so weird, isn't it? And you're a day before, yeah. I'm a day later.
Opposite sides of the earth, right?
Opposite sides of the earth, different hemispheres, different seasons, different times. It's just quite wacky, really. But we're here, which is cool. We get to do this. So tell me about your day, Justin. What have you been up to? You're just saying you're Monday for you, isn't it? And Tuesday for me. You're a pastor, so Monday's a good day for you just to chill out a little bit and reflect.
Mondays are good for me. I've heard other pastors in the profession talk about how they hate Mondays, that they wish they were doing something different on Mondays. I like Mondays because you have just the social aspect of being a church leader. You're preaching the message. You're interacting with everybody. That's when you see everyone, sometimes almost everyone for that week. Yeah. And so for me, Mondays is a day to sort of settle in. Mondays a day to kind of take the switch off, be alone for a little while. And so.
Sorry to disrupt your Monday then. Here I am.
That's okay.
Disrupting your Monday. I'm biting into your you time. You're just.
Yeah, we'll give you a pass. We'll give you
all
a
right.
pass on this.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. I appreciate that. Well, see, it's not Monday for me. It's Tuesday for me. So it doesn't really count. It's interesting, isn't it? Our attitude toward days of the week. Isn't it interesting how we have an attitude towards particular days? Like, I know in the US, and tragically it's happening here, is thank God it's Friday. What a devastating attitude to have to life. Can you imagine that? Just thank God it's Friday. Thank God the week's over. So I get to look forward to 2 days and then get to Sunday night and then get stressed about Monday because I hate Monday because it starts all over again. And really having only one day, I guess, where you're sort of a bit chilled and every other day it's like, ugh, I've got to go to work or I'm exhausted. And we do it to ourselves.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, I feel bad. I think people who truly enjoy what they do and the work they do, Monday through Friday can be enjoyable. Monday through Friday can be full of purpose, full of meaning. But yeah, if you're one of those folks that hates what they do, part of the grind, I totally get it. And so you're right. Half of Sunday is always kind of full of angst because you're just dreading Monday. So my heart goes out to those folks that haven't found that purpose.
I do too. And I'm going to be a little bit controversial here, Justin. My heart goes out to them. And I've been there. I've been miserable in a job and waking up every morning with anxiety. I know what that's like. It's not fun. My attitude is life's too short. And if you don't love what you do, you have two options. Find a way to love it or change it. And if you continue to stick at something that you hate and you're not prepared to find a way to love and just be miserable, then you've basically put yourself in that scenario. I did a talk, Justin, recently to a group of factory kind of workers, welders and assemblers, and they put together trailers for trucks. And I asked them, this is in the morning, I said, hey, who's having a great day? No one put their hand up. Who loves what they do? No one put their hand up. Who has fun here? No one put their hand up. And I thought, okay. We need to deal with this. And I started to talk to them about what they actually did. And one goes, well, I'm just a welder. And I said, no, you're not. What do you weld? He goes, I just weld steel and stuff. And I said, yeah, and what does that steel do? And he goes, well, it makes trailers. And I said, yeah, and what do the trailers do? All the trailers go on the back of a truck. And where do they go? And what goes in them? And as I'm talking to him, you could see the pennies starting to drop. Okay, well, the trailers take products and equipment and all sorts of really important stuff around the country to help build things and improve lives. And so I actually said to him, you're actually a very critical part of a process that improves people's lives. Because without a welder, there is no trailer. Without a trailer, there's no equipment, products and stuff to be transported around the country. And therefore, none of this progress is going to happen. And it's interesting how I could actually see his body language change. I could see his attitude change. It's just a shift of thinking, isn't it? Where we can actually love what we do, even if it's not always fun. We can still love it, knowing that it is meaningful. It is having a bigger purpose. It's not just welding something or picking up garbage or whatever it might be. You're actually improving people's lives. And when people start to realize that, it can make it more enjoyable.
Just you helping him find his purpose in that. His job didn't change, but this is your purpose in that. And I think, like you said, whenever you can retrain your mind and how you see things, it makes a huge difference.
It does, doesn't it? So Justin, tell us about what you're doing. You're a pastor of a church, but clearly we're on a podcast here and I know you've written a book. Tell us a bit about the stuff that really excites you about your day. What is it that despite what day it is, you still will wake up? I'm sure you wake up every day excited about the day, knowing that you're going to have an impact on lives, knowing that you're going to do something that's joyful and meaningful. Tell us about what you're doing at the moment.
Sure. So I do have a unique opportunity where I get to work in a field where you truly get to feel purpose in what you do as you are preparing your people, as you're communicating to people how much God loves them, how much he has a purpose for their life, how unique that is to them. And so me getting to pull passages from the text and kind of just spell that out for them and show them how that applies to their life, that's a blessing for me, just to get to support them in that whenever they're in the hospital, getting to love on them, yep, care for them, that sort of thing. So lots of purpose for me in doing, yep, that. What I found myself and what led me to kind of doing what I'm doing now, probably about 10, 12 years ago, I just became a father about 10 or 12 years ago. And I realized how much free time I used to have after I had my child, right? Because you find out, yeah, all that free time is gone. And being married for a couple of years at the point and having a child, I realized that my time was not my own. And nothing seemed to be happening to me just on accident. I wasn't being the best husband I could be. I wasn't being a very good father. I wasn't being a very good pastor. All the areas of my life that I wanted to excel, it wasn't happening on accident. Like I was just kind of living life and I was not, yep, really being all that I was called to be. I began walking down and taking this journey of developing just these disciplines in my life and these habits in my life. And so it's developed me into a kind of person that kind of keeps track of these things and yep, sets yearly goals for myself, weekly goals for myself. And so after doing that for about 10 years, I started just tracking all of that, doing the habit tracking, writing these things down, putting words to it. And it led me to write this book that I'm going to talk about. But at the end of 2023, beginning of 2024, I've always viewed the start of a new year as sort of a Super Bowl for goals, because you get to evaluate how well you did the past year, and then you get to sort of step into what's new in the year to come. And so it was December 30th. These are how many miles I want to run going into the next year. This is how many books I want to read going into the next year. I wanted to better develop the habit of writing just because I'm a pastor, just to work on communication skills and delivery. There were some things that I wanted to dedicate my time to. And so have all these goals lined out. January 1st comes, I get hit with the flu. I get hit with COVID. I pull my hamstring. I get a...
What, in the same day?
Three of those happened in the same day. I got in.
That's a bad day, mate.
It's a bad day. It's a bad day. And I remember watching my kids play outside, just sitting on the edge of my bed. So any workouts I was doing weren't happening. Any miles I was running wasn't happening. The biggest workout of the day that I got over the course of the next week was the walk from the bathroom and back. That was kind of what my best workout looked like. And so I remember sitting on the edge of my bed, watching my kids play, thinking, man, this year has started very poorly. And it began to get me to think about all the things in life that we do. Everything that we do in life for the first time, we start poorly, whether it's brushing our teeth, whether it's tying our shoes, whether it's algebra, whether it's potty training, whether it's swinging a golf club for the first time. We all start poorly. We all start from just this lack of experience. But for whatever reason, Andrew, sometimes when it comes to the goals that we have, yep, the dreams that we have, the things that we've always wanted to achieve, we feel like we have to start them. We have to be flawless. We have to be perfect. Yeah. Yeah. And that's crazy when we kind of compare the two. And so that led me to write the book, Start Poorly, Sidestepping Perfection to Reach Your Goals, and just doing everything you can to eliminate the perfectionistic attitude that we have, the fears that we have, in order to do the things that you've always wanted to do.
I love that. It's so true. Starting poorly, what a beautiful thing. Because what you're doing is you're giving people permission to stuff it up, really, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And people need that. They need permission to do it badly. They need permission to stumble around at the start. They need to know that they don't have to be flawless. I think that's an awesome thing. I work with authors myself, written and published 8 books, and I now work with authors. And I always give them permission when they're writing the first draft to write badly, because they're sitting there going, well, what if it's no good? And I said, well, that's perfect. I give you permission to write badly. Do you think you can do that? And they go, yeah, I can do that. Great. That's your goal. Write a really bad first draft. Go. And all of a sudden the pressure's off. That's the great thing. And the perfection mindset, and I redefine that a little bit, because I don't like using the word perfection, because I think we're all perfect. You're a pastor. You know we're perfect in God's eyes. So I think we vilify the word perfection. The goal to be flawless, that is unachievable. To know that, okay, well, if I just get started, that's perfection. If I stuff it up, perfect. That's great. I'm on track. Because every expert started as a beginner. I mean, I'm sure when you started in your pastorship journey, theological journey, what do you call it?
I'm going to start using the word pastorship. That's good. Yeah.
Is that a new word? Yeah, have I created that word?
We'll submit that to Webster, see what he does with it.
Okay, pastorship. I'm sure you are bad at it. And when people came to you with problems, you go, oh, my God, I've got no idea. What do I do? God, help me.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
But I love that. I love Start Poorly. I love that whole concept of starting poorly. Justin, let's have a quick break. I want to come back and talk about how in your life and your journey, how you've started poorly in things and how you've now created the outcomes and the things you're doing now. So why don't we have a quick break and we'll be back to talk more about your journey.
How do you rate the most important things in your life? For many of us, long life and joy are high on the list. Important elements we can't buy, but the secret to attaining them is elusive and out of reach for many. Andrew Jobling has tackled these important questions in his book, The Wellness Puzzle, Living a Life of Joyful Longevity. Andrew solves the problem by teaching the 7 pieces to optimal well-being. This is a must read. Find out more about The Wellness Puzzle and Andrew's other books at andrewjobling.com.au.
As always happens, Justin, we start talking in the break and it's, oh my gosh, stop, Justin, stop, because we need to record this. Because I was saying that this need to get it right from the beginning is what stops so many people from even getting started. They think, well, if I don't write it perfectly, I can't be an author. If I don't speak perfectly, I can't be a speaker. If I don't do this perfectly right from the beginning, starting poorly is such beautiful permission to give people to start poorly, which I love. And you're saying even now after the book's published, you're still struggling.
Right. Even after publishing this, I failed to take my own advice, because in the author world, and you probably know this working with authors, that you have to be willing to dedicate so much time to promoting the book, to marketing the book, whether you want to do that through podcasting, whether you want to do that through YouTube or newsletters. I have just been very slow to do the work of marketing. I've been very slow to do YouTube, very slow to do the newsletter, and I just need to do it. I just need to start.
Why do you think you've been slow with that?
I think for me, it might be the expectation of, okay, if I start doing this, do I have to put something out every week? Do I need to send a newsletter out each week? Do I need to make YouTube content each week?
Yeah.
Will that well run dry at some point? Will it be all for nothing? Those are some of the thoughts that I have.
So there's some fear there, isn't there? And also, again, as you said, you're not taking your own advice. Just start poorly.
Yeah. It's laughable. Every time I think about it, I think, why are you not? You can't even take your
own
advice.
Well, mate, you're human, as we all are. And I'm the same. I've got a podcast. I'm an author. I'm a speaker. And I profess all this stuff. And da-da-da-da-da. And then I look at myself and go, Andrew, why don't you take your own advice, for goodness sake? Because we're humans. And fear is something we all deal with every day.
Yeah, it's irrational, isn't it?
It is irrational. It's crazy how we just allow, and you understand why there may be an initial fear of doing something like writing a book. Of course, there's a fear that what if I can't get it published? What if no one likes it? What if no one buys it? And I think that's a natural thought. But to dwell on those thoughts, that's where the challenge really comes, isn't it?
In the book, I even talk about the fear that we're talking about. I talk about, I don't know if in Australia, you guys have indoor malls where you have food courts, you have different food vendors, different types of food. So I compare fear to not a food court, but a fear court. When it comes to fear, there's so many different types of fear that you encounter if you're working on a habit, working on a goal. It's the fear of, I can't do this. It's the fear of, well, if I do, I have to have the perfect plan. If I don't have the perfect plan, will it ever be good enough? Like, there's so many different types of fear that you encounter along the way, and they all want to feed you the garbage that they're selling.
Yeah, so true. Because on one hand, we've got this rubbish that we're telling ourselves. On the other hand, there's things about ourselves we know inherently. Like, I know inherently I'm compassionate and caring and kind, and I know I'm persistent, and I know I'm courageous, and I know I'm determined because of the things I've achieved in my life. I know I am. On the other hand, I say to myself, well, I can't do it, and I'm this and I'm that. And I'm thinking, okay, well, those two lines of thought cannot coexist. We either focus on one or the other. And the problem is, for whatever reason, Justin, and you might be able to answer this, we do know most people, if you were to ask me, are you kind? Are you compassionate? Are you giving? Are you caring? Are you supportive? If you ever persisted to achieve anything, have you ever done anything that scared you? Then you're courageous and persistent and determined. So I think we know the stuff. We already know that and believe that about ourselves. Why do we then go ahead and believe all the rubbish we say to ourselves, like, I can't do it, I'm not good enough, I never stick at anything, I'm a procrastinator, ba-ba-da-ba-da. Why do we tend to believe the rubbish rather than the truth?
Because fear is a greater motivator, I would say. Fear is a greater motivator for us. When I say the word motivator, I mean it in a negative sense, that it motivates us either to action or interaction. Whether we're fearful about a relationship is going to cause us to freak out and do something about it. Whether we're fearful about what might happen if this thing is unsafe, I think it's a greater motivator or discourager in our lives, and we just give way to it. It's often said that throughout the Bible, there is a version of fear not, don't fear, don't worry, about 365 times, like one for every single day of the year. And that's there because God knew that that would be such a real thing for us, that we needed to be reminded so much to fear not.
There's a passage in the Bible that pure love casts out fear, or is it something like that?
Yeah, perfect love casts out fear.
Perfect love casts out fear.
The idea there is that in the presence of God, like Jesus with us, the Holy Spirit in us, that is greater than what fear can do to us. And not that fear is completely gone, but that confidence is with us.
And that is so true. My Christian journey started not that long ago, really less than 10 years ago, and I was racked with fear and insecurities and doubt and all sorts of low self-worth. And it's so true when you give yourself to God or whatever your spiritual or faith belief is, when you give yourself and say, God's got me, or Jesus is there, he's wrapped his loving arms around me, the fear doesn't seem so bad. The overwhelm doesn't seem so overwhelming. The insecure stuff doesn't seem so insecure. It is amazing, isn't it, when you can lean into love. I think that's awesome. Anyway, Justin, tell us a bit about your journey, mate. You've obviously done lots in your life, and you're now a bit of a goal-setting guru, and you help people start poorly, but I'm sure you help them finish strong as well. Tell us a bit about the journey. How did you get to this point?
That's the idea. Yeah, so in my own life, as I kind of mentioned, being married and having a child, one of the things and one of the areas that I knew I needed to grow is just with the spiritual disciplines, talking about being a pastor, being a Christian, dedicating myself to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, dedicating myself to prayer, dedicating myself to being physically fit. I saw those things begin to change me and mold me. I saw myself become more disciplined in even things like waking up. Someone like me who had slept in as much as they could for their entire life. When you begin to discipline yourself, when you begin to identify that this person that you want to be, and you see this big gap between who you are now and who you truly want to be, whenever you're willing to make steps to do that over time, right? Because this was certainly something for me that didn't happen. This is kind of, like I said, about a 12-year journey. And there's still plenty of space to go in all of that. And so as I have disciplined myself, I've seen pockets of wisdom. I use the word pockets because there's still, again, a lot of deficiencies in me. But in my time as a pastor, I served about 10 years as a youth pastor, working primarily with teenagers and then just helping them. And I think that's where a lot of this stuff began, too, is that some of them would go to camp. They would go on retreats. They would have these encounters with Jesus and they're on fire. They're excited. And they wanted to, I'm going to pray so many hours a day. I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm like, okay, hold on. That's great. I'm glad you want to do that. Right now, you read your Bible for 0 minutes a day. Hmm. You pray 0 minutes a day. Like, what if we started at 5? Like, what if we started poorly? And let's develop this habit over the course of your lifetime, because this is a lifetime commitment. Like, because 5 days a week, what is that, 35 minutes, right? And so you do that, that might be 35 more minutes than you do next week. Like, what if you started poorly? And honestly, the whole theme of starting poorly, giving yourself the permission to be terrible, it's about grace.
Yeah.
God extends his grace in our lives. And so we have to be able to give grace to different areas of our lives as well and give grace to ourselves. And so for me, it's been a journey of grace. It's been a journey of helping others understand the grace they have at their capacity.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so looking back at your life, tell us about starting poorly. Where did you start poorly in your life when you set a goal for yourself, and how did that evolve and develop?
So I would say at the beginning of 2024, one of the things that I wanted to do was develop the habit of writing. And I didn't want to write anything in particular, just whatever was on my mind, whatever was on my heart. And so I think the last 10 years of getting into the goal setting material, writing about habits and thinking about habits, it just started this journey for me where I was writing for about an hour a day. I was putting my thoughts down and some of it was good, some of it was bad. But over time, it began to morph and I began to sort of collect these stories, right? I began to collect these concepts and these stories and I saw how they fit together. One of the stories that I mentioned in the book is I was playing Chutes and Ladders with my kids. Are you familiar with this game, Chutes and Ladders?
Well, there's snakes and ladders. Is it the same?
Same concept. Yeah, same concept. Basically, board from 1 to 100, you spin the spinner to go all the way up to 100. If you hit the bottom of a ladder, you go up. If you hit the top of a chute or a slide, you go down, right? So
yep.
Ideally, you could be in the ladder and chute cycle for the rest of your life or until you finish the game, right? But what I saw in playing the game with my kids is as long as you kept hitting the spinner, you would reach the top, right? No matter what. Yes, you would have setbacks. Yes, you would jump up. And even playing that game, I realized how much life is a lot like this. And working towards your goals is a lot like this. You have days
yeah.
where you hit the bottom of the ladder and man, things are great. And you have days where you feel like you have a major setback. You feel like I can't do this. There's no way I could finish this. And so everywhere I looked, I began to kind of see through the lenses of what I was writing about. And what started out very poorly for me all became sort of came together like a bonfire, right? All these little sticks of wood begin to just compile to where it was something that I could light and something that I could write about. And so there are plenty of days where I was feeling down about it and days where I was sort of even keeled and then days that I felt great. So
yeah.
It's pretty amazing for me how even starting poorly began to build momentum.
That's awesome. And so what we're inspiring people to do is start and start poorly. However, you can start and that's great. But if you don't complete, that's a challenge. So in those days when you hit the chute and you slide back, and we all have those days every day, no matter what you're aspiring to or working on, trying to build a stronger relationship with your family or get your health back or get fitter or build your business or improve your financial position, whatever it is, you're going to have those days where you hit the chute and you slide back. How do you navigate those days when you really just couldn't be bothered, when you really think, well, this is not working and I'm going nowhere and I can't do it. And then all that fear and negativity starts to hit us. How do you then negotiate those days to right. keep going and spin again?
One of the things that I talk about in the book is there's so many different rules out there that people talk about, but there's an Olympic trainer that talks about the rule of three. And what they found with their athletes that they trained is that a third of the time, whenever their athletes would train, they feel good. They feel normal. They're putting in the work. They're doing what they need to. Another third of the time, they felt amazing. They had their best time. They lifted their best set. they felt like they could medal, that they could win gold, that they could win silver. And then another third of the time, they felt awful. They felt, why am I doing this? I hate that I'm doing this. I won't even qualify, much less win gold. And so what this trainer identified was that you feel any of those a third of the time. And so what I began to do throughout the process of me writing what I wrote is I would score how I felt that day. Did I feel like my work was a 9 out of 10? Did I feel it was a 5 out of 10? Or was it a 7 out of 10? And what I found that for every 7, there was a 9. For every 9, there was a 5. And so I think if you can within yourself build a history and know that this awful day, that this shoot, that this huge slide, if you can identify that there are plenty other days where you moved forward, that there's plenty other days where you excelled, I think that's the kind of motivation that can help you keep going.
And also understanding you are going to have those days. You're going to have those low days. Mm-hmm. I think people think they have to be motivated all the time. Oh, I didn't do it today because I wasn't feeling motivated or inspired. And I think that's the key. If I'm not motivated, then I don't do anything. Well, when you understand that motivation is not the answer.
Right.
Action is. Habit is. You talked about habits earlier in the podcast. People think they need to be motivated to get out of bed and exercise. No, you don't. You just have to get out and do it anyway. And it's on those days when you least feel like doing it, the days you need to do it. So if you can use those times when you think, I really don't want to do it today. I can't. It's too hard. It's not working. They're the days you go, okay, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Because on those days where you're feeling motivated, it's easy. They're not the days to aspire to. The days to aspire to are the days when you're feeling a bit crappy and you do it anyway, because I think that's what sets people apart. People that write books, get to the top in their field or have the strong relationships. The key is knowing that feeling good all the time is not the goal. You'll never feel good all the time. Doing what you need to do despite how you feel. There's a saying, I will do what I said I will do long after the mood I set it in has gone. You talked about start of the new year. New year, yeah, I'm going to get myself in shape. I'm going to make money. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to I'm fired up. I'm motivated. Yes. 3 days later, okay, so the question is, are you going to do it now, even though that mood is gone? That's the time to do it. That's the strength. That's the power. That's the true transformation is then, not when you feel good, when you don't, and you do it anyway.
And I think whenever you discover some of that discipline, whenever you actually see yourself doing it on those days you don't want to, like that creates something new. Like that creates life in you. Because there's so many times that we, you know, you talk about, oh, well, I didn't do it today. Sometimes we totally bail and just say, I'm done with it. And that's crazy. Like, why do we treat it that way?
Don't know, Justin, because we're humans and we are flawed. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yep.
Let's have another quick break, come back, and we'll give people some great little hints and tips if they're ready to start on a journey of transformation. And I'm sure they're all ready to start poorly. The question is, are they ready to continue until it turns into what they want? So let's have a break and we'll be back.
Sounds good.
Hi, I'm Justin Grifford, author of Start Poorly, Sidestepping Perfection to Reach Your Goals. Ever feel like there is a gap, a divide between the person you are and the person you desire to become? Ever feel like that gap is too much to overcome? My new book, Start Poorly, will help you implement strategies to develop habits and fulfill your goals. Pick up your copy today and head over to justingrifford.com and share your Start Poorly story with me.
Justin, how long have you been a pastor for?
I've been a pastor for, let's do the math, about 15 years.
Okay. And what were you doing before that?
Before that, I'd actually went to undergrad because I planned to be a dentist. And just before I started, I was kind of moving and get ready to start dental school. I went on a mission trip to Honduras and I was a chaperone for a junior high group of students. And I had different people begin to just identify in me, hey, you're really good at this. Have you ever thought about this? Have you considered ministry? And I'd always had a pretty close relationship with the Lord, and it's just something that I prayed about for about 6 months and talked to a couple of different pastors and decided that that's the road that the Lord had me on and decided to go to seminary. So it was kind of just right after undergrad.
So you'd finished a dentistry degree?
No. So I got a degree in biology. I had to get a degree in biology in order to go to dental school, get accepted to dental school.
So you never went to dental school?
Never went to dental school. No, I took the entrance exams for it and did all the preparation for it. But then chose not to go because of a call to ministry.
Yeah, awesome. And looking back now, if you did take that dentistry path, where do you think you'd be? Do you think you'd still be doing it? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I would have more money than I have now, but I think that I would probably be bored out of my mind because I actually have heard stories of doctors and dentists that went through all of that and took on the student loans that are involved in that.
Yeah, crazy.
And then they felt a call to ministry, but they felt conflicted that they at least had to pay that off before they could do ministry. And I thought, Lord, you knew what you were doing at the time that you did. Absolutely. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, I think you've made a good decision. Because dentists, doctors, and a lot of those very highly educated people, they invest so much time in their education that they feel like, well, I've got to do it now. I've invested all this time and all this money in getting this degree and this qualification. Well, I can't do something else now. I've got to justify all the money and time I've spent to get here. And again, it comes back to what we're talking about right at the start, the tragic life so many people leave because they feel like, well, I've just got to stick this out. I've got to stay in this career path or stay in this relationship or stay in this situation. I'm miserable, but that's just life.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So that probably leads us into a nice point here, Justin. There's a lot of people feeling stuck in certain areas of their life. I think we all do in certain areas. If someone's ready, if this conversation is prompting someone to think, yeah, I really would like to set some goals. I want to move. I want to change the way I feel about my career. I would like to change careers. I would like to write a book. I would like to get my health back, whatever it might be for them. Let's help them. How do they get started?
So in the book, I lay out five different phases on how to do that. The first phase is what I call the dream phase. And the dream phase is easy because we all live in the dream phase about something. When you were a kid, maybe you wanted to be an astronaut. You wanted to be a professional athlete, which I think you were, weren't you? Didn't you?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, there you go. So you got to live that dream.
I started poorly too.
You started poorly there too. But we all have something that we've always wanted to do, that there's that thing in us now that we wanted to do it. And, you know, we have to be realistic. Not all of us can be professional athletes. You know, all of us can do these certain things. But we see people doing what they have always wanted to do, and we might not want to do what they're doing, but we want to do what we want to do. And so the dream phase exists, and in the dream phase, it's great because we can be anything, we can do anything, but some people are trapped in the dream phase forever. Some people want to write the book, but they never will because they're stuck in the dream phase and they won't do anything about it. One of the best things that I can encourage them to do is find a foothold. That's the language that I put to it, is find a foothold. When you're climbing up a mountain, if you can find a great place to put your foot, to just sort of load your weight, to sort of reestablish your grip, I encourage people to, within the next 24 to 48 hours, find 15 minutes to write down and just think through as much as they can about that thing they want to do. So if it's writing a book, okay, write down as much as they can. What do I want to write it about? What are the stories that I want to tell within it? If you want to learn to play the guitar, okay, do I have a guitar? What color do I want the guitar to be? What songs do I want to learn to play? Do I learn from YouTube? Do I take lessons? Just having this initial brainstorming within 15 minutes, you'd be surprised how much you could actually put down on paper and begin to carve out this pathway towards this plan that you want to have. And so that's the dream phase. The next phase is the plan phase. And it's just like it sounds. A plan is where you begin to identify, how am I going to do this? If I'm going to write the book, how am I going to do it? If I'm going to run a marathon, how can I train to do it? And so in doing all of that, you can establish, okay, how long do I work on it? How often do I work on it? What are the materials that I need to work on it? Right? So that's the dream phase. That's the plan phase. The next phase is the start phase, and that's obvious. You start, and the start phase is exciting because you're finally getting to go. You're finally getting to start that thing, and you will soon realize, do I have what it takes or not? After the start phase is the grind phase, and the grind phase is kind of what we're talking about, is what happens when you hit the slide too many times? What happens when you hit the chute, when you have setbacks? And the grind is all about endurance, enduring, going through it, different strategies on how to push through the desert because it feels like a desert. And then finally, there's the finish phase. Even in the finish phase, there's different obstacles to overcome because in the finish phase, we often feel like we're not ready. We often feel like we're not ready to hit send. We're not ready to ship our work, as Seth Godin would say. We're not ready to hit publish. We're not ready for the world to see our work. And so even in the finish phase, there's some obstacles that we have to overcome.
Well, that sounds simple, doesn't it? So everyone listening,
oh, yeah.
Simple. Wish it was easy. Does. the start phase, the dream, we can see what we want. We can write it down, why we want it. That's all good. Yep, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. The start phase can be a bit of a challenge for a lot of people because in their head is, I need to start and I want to start, but what if this and what if that and what if I can't do it? And I think a lot of people don't even get started. They do the dream phase, the plan phase. They don't even start because they let that voice in the head. There's this awesome saying, get out of your head and into your heart, from your head to your heart to your hands. Because so many people, when you think about the dream, we get excited. That's the time to take that first step. A lot of people think about the dream, get excited, then go back into their head and start thinking about, well, what if this happens, or what if that happens, and what if I can't do it, and all that kind of stuff. And they pull themselves back. They pull themselves off the start line. So you've got to go with that feeling rather than wait till you've got all the answers. And I think that's a tough thing for a lot of people. I know for me, starting to write my first book, no idea what I was doing, no idea at all, but knowing that I want the result. So I've just got to start. And I know it will unfold. I inherently knew that once I get started, each day that I write, it's going to get better. The path will unfold. The answers will come. And then the grind phase, I think, again, that's where the people that start, that's where we probably lose most people because they think they've got to feel good all the time. It's not about feeling good. It's about doing what you said you'd do on that day. Just do it, do it, do it. And it's only a period of time. If you repeat a behavior over a period of time, it will become a habit, like brushing your teeth. And people don't think about brushing their teeth anymore. They don't negotiate it. They don't weigh up the pros and cons. They just do it because it's part of their DNA now. It's a neural pathway in their brain.
Yeah. Like you're talking about brushing your teeth. They're not happy about it. They're not sad about it. They just do it.
It's just what we do. And I think that's the key for people to understand is that grind phase that you're talking about. You know, for me, writing, that was hard. That first couple of months was hard because at the time for me, I was working 7 days a week. I had two businesses and now trying to find time every day to write. And it was hard. However, it became a habit. It became a daily thing. And I do now, and it's been over 20 years since I published my first book, and I write every single day. I never miss it. I don't think about it, don't debate about it, don't feel good, don't feel bad. I just do it.
How long do you write?
Not long, 10 or 15 minutes. That's it.
Okay, yeah.
It's amazing what you can do in 10 or 15 minutes a day if you do it every day.
Right. Some days it can go by really quick. Some days it's slow as can be.
Absolutely. But these days for me, it's not about how many words. It's about if I actively spend time in a book writing, that's a success for me. That's a win. And I celebrate that win. I win the day. I've done today. Great. Celebrate. All I got to do is worry about when midnight strikes, I get news today. I just got to win the day. And that helps me get through that grind period. You've got to persist through that to the point where you don't have to grind anymore, where it just becomes part of your DNA and part of what you do.
That's good. Yeah. You know, you're talking about the inability to start. Some people just have trouble starting. We have this delusion, and I talk about this in the book, that there's different box jumps. And whenever I was in high school playing football, we had to do box jumps, and I hated box jumps, but you couldn't finish your workout until you finished your box jump. And so one of the box jumps that's in the way to starting is this delusion that we have of the perfect plan, right? The perfect plan, we think the perfect plan. We have to write our plans out in pencil because they're probably going to change, right? Something's going to come up and we can't do it this day. We have to do it that day. This method isn't going to work. And so I need to try a different method. And so there's so many things like the delusion of a perfect plan that even stand in the way of us starting.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? What do they say? You've got to set your goals in stone and your plans in sand. What a lot of people do is they do it the other way around. They set their goals in sand and their plans in stone. This is the only way to do it. And if it doesn't work this way, then I've got to reset the goal. Well, no, actually, what about if you leave the goal and go, if this doesn't work, then find another way. There's always a way. And we can do it. We've done it. All of us have done it. When there's something you know you have to do, you've got to be somewhere by a deadline and there's a roadblock, you get there. You find a way. You have to get there. You've got to get there. For a certain time, you do it. Something has to be finished or something has to be purchased or whatever. And you just think, how am I going to do it? Who can I call? Who can help? Because you know you've just got to hit that deadline. There's no alternative. There's no option except getting it. And I think with goals, if you can set it like that in stone, saying this is a non-negotiable, the answers will always come. The strategies will always be there. If something doesn't work, a new idea will come to you. Our mind is very powerful when we let it do what it can do.
Right. Yeah.
Justin, this has been a fabulous conversation. How do people buy your book? How do they reach out if they want to find you?
It's available on Amazon. They can also go to justingrifford.com and there they can purchase it there as well. And if they want to sign up for my email list. I would love to hear their start poorly story. One of the coolest things that I've encountered is that people from all different walks of life and different career paths have used this book in their own areas, whether it's an engineer telling me that, like, my professor told me to start a bad draft, like write a bad draft, get something on paper. So it's really cool hearing people talk about their diets, talk about engineering, and just how this concept works in so many different ways. But that's at justingrifford.com. You can also go to Amazon. It's available also where all books are sold online.
Awesome. Justin, thank you, mate. Wonderful conversation. Keep up the great work. Keep pastoring, keep writing, keep starting poorly, and keep inspiring people. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wonderful conversation with Justin that was, and some really cool stuff, simple stuff. If you want to achieve stuff, it's not hard. It's really not. If you want to be happy, it's not. It's a decision. If you want to love what you do, it's not hard. It's a choice. If you want to get healthier, get fitter, write a book, whatever, it's not hard. You just got to know what you want. You've just got to get a plan. You've got to get started. You've got to start poorly. You've got to do stuff when you don't feel like doing it until it becomes an unconscious habit, and you will be incredibly blessed and surprised with what wonderful things come into your life. If you would like to reach out to Justin, buy his book, or get his free newsletter, you can go to his website, which is justingrifford.com, and he would love to connect with you. Thanks for joining me in this episode. It's been a great one. Hope you got a lot out of it. Hope you'll share it. Hope you'll join me in my next episode. My name's Andrew Jobling. This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast.